following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show. Today, I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and with me, as normal, when David's not here.
Right. Justin Bruggeman.
And
Emma Arndt.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for joining the show today. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, as usual. Justin, I got to give you a little bit of credit for writing such an awesome show today. Giving you the crown for that one. Emma, you came up with a great title for this show. What was it again? You gave me something. It was like where the world is.
No, just live what it is like to live life in the world today.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of today's show, because something that I think everyone can relate to.
Yeah.
And we're also in an interesting time, because I feel like the world we're living in today is really radically different than it might have even been like 5 or 6 years ago, before COVID, right? Things have changed a lot. Jobs look different. Money looks different. Inflation looks different.
Information looks different.
The information looks radically different. Yeah. And so as things have changed, obviously we're not really catching you up to speed. You're living it.
Right.
But I think we should highlight some of those really big points where mm-hmm. there have been changes, because it does affects you as an investor.
Yeah.
Justin, you got any like real big pieces that, you know, you kind of want to talk about to start with, where you feel like there has been a really big change and it is kind of affecting people?
Well, I guess the elephant in the room is AI.
Have you seen that little someone made like a meme out of that? They're like, AI, AI. And then everyone's just saying it over and over again, and they just look like a bunch of chickens. Have you seen that?
No, I have not seen
it. Oh, my gosh. Pull up that reel on your phone while you're driving. Don't get in a car accident. But, yeah, that's all everyone is talking about right now.
Yeah.
And I know it gets talked about a lot, but it impacts so much.
It does.
Yeah.
And
does it ever feel like you can't keep up with it?
Yes.
Yeah,
like
for
every
sure.
time
yeah.
you come in and you're like, ChatLM or Grok or this or that, and then you're trying to synthesize all of it, and like, well, how do I plug all the different pieces together? And it almost can be a little overwhelming, because mm-hmm. it feels like there's a new AI every day, or there's a new application for it. And so we're living in the midst of like this crazy race to try and get the dominance, mm-hmm. and right. we're like the experiment. Yep. I feel like I'm living in an
yeah.
experiment.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't really have a choice but to keep up, because the people that are using it, like, it really is such a valuable tool that mm-hmm. they're able to do work so much faster and have access to knowledge faster. So it really is like if you're not using it, mm-hmm. you're kind of falling behind.
Do you ever like get tired of it though, where you're exhausted yeah. and you're like,
oh,
I would
yeah.
just like to curl up with a book in the middle yeah. of nowhere where internet doesn't exist?
I would like some busy work back, please. Some mind-numbing busy
work. I just
miss
the days of school, like crafting time. Give me a pair of scissors and a glue yeah. stick. Please bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Justin, what were you going to say? You had like kind of a key point here.
Yeah, I mean, it was the kind of segment of kind of how this titles is AI a great learning tool or the greatest crutch, which I'm going to ask you guys. I don't know what crutch means.
I think it's just like the thing that you fall back on. So for a lot of people, they're like, I don't know how to get through this. I'm just going to have AI do it. And I think that's something that David and I have talked about on the show before, is there's this huge risk right now, because like – a lot of people, this is going to sound brutal.
Oh,
I'm going to sound really bad.
A lot
of people are too stupid to use AI.
My theory of AI on what it can do is one of two things. It makes can make people extremely intelligent.
And very capable.
Or yep. mm-hmm. it can make people extremely stupid.
It exploits the stupidity is what AI is really doing. It exploits it, because it's like, wow, like, you just gave me an answer that was not even related to the question
yeah.
at all.
Yes.
And you're like, ooh, your critical thinking skills are not there.
Yeah, I think that's what is at the core of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's either like fine-tuning your critical thinking skills yep. because you're having to think faster to keep up with it and mm-hmm. like really interpret it, or you're using it in place of any critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really the two sides of that coin.
That's like the thing that susses out bad employees in the workplace, where it's like you just start to see patterns where you're like, oh, I can tell that everything you just gave me was like barfed up ChatGPT stuff that's not very good. You can't actually think. You're out of here. Like that, I think that could be a real thing, because I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, oh, anytime I'm reading something on Facebook or whatever, I'm like, you just copy and pasted like a ChatGPT thing. Like, look at the little emoji things that like you didn't take out, all the little green check marks. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's what's so funny now, though, is that like now you know who did not do like those reading summary correctly in school, is because that's kind of what you have to do with AI. It's going to spit out like chapters at you, and you have to summarize that to actually utilize it effectively.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who benefit the most learn how to use it, not depend on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because if you go back, what did calculators do to math skills, Matt? You're a math guy.
Right. I mean, it just made people who could like live and conceptualize in those really long, big equations, it made you able to just get to those answers and solve them quicker.
Right.
Yeah. And so you make a good point. Like for the people that really know how to use it, it's like, oh, you're just solving problems faster. But the big question, though, and you even wrote this down for me, was like this question, this really big overarching question of, are we losing problem solving skills? And that to me is a big one, because go back to the calculator analogy. I remember when calculators really got advanced, right? Yeah. Like I was living in the midst of that. Calculators started to get so advanced. You could punch the equation.
The number or letters and stuff.
No, you could do the whole,
whole thing. On
the whole entire.
TI-83 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and you could punch in the entire equation and it would solve it for you.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is you couldn't see really fully how it solved it. You could get to an answer.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it was still like, show your work and prove it. Prove you have the concept down.
You at least had to know the order of operations, but it made zero sense to you.
But now you can plug that same equation into ChatGPT or Grok or whoever, and you're going to be able to see the work. And you can just show it. But that doesn't actually show that you have problem-solving skills. It shows that AI has it. Wow. And so.
And then the backdrop of that is people won't look at how. They just want to know the answer.
That's one of the reasons I got out of teaching. Yeah, is because. Well,
and that's another problem with it too, though, is that like AI is not always right. Mm-hmm. And if you don't actually know like the equation behind it, how are you going to know if it's actually right or not?
Mm-hmm. Begs the question, I guess, of do we as a society start to slip back into the old ways of having to do things, where it's like, well, we can't really use computers fully in school for certain things, because, like, here's a pen and paper. You're going to have to prove it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've talked to old college professors of mine, and, like, they can't send home
work,
like essays and stuff like that.
Right.
They're having to use class time to make people sit there with a pen and paper to write essays.
Now,
so homework is, like, almost obsolete, because what's the point?
So that begs the question, though. Going further down the rabbit hole of, is the system broken and trying to live in the past? Because at what point is it really going to matter? If this thing gets as good as what everyone claims it will, and you can do all the things with AI and it's verified and it becomes accurate, right? Like what happens when it actually isn't making mistakes?
Right.
That's the crazy thing. It's like, oh, now let's look at the workforce all over again and say what's actually been displaced.
Well, and I feel like that's what, like, I think that people are going to have to get even better at critical thinking skills, because you can't just hide behind being good at something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of management. Like, it takes a lot of leadership skills to be able to pull from that, critically think, and then decide, like, make decisions off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all three of us, we grew up in an era where that was like the core focus, was like making sure that you could solve problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now I think the big question is, what is going to happen to our kids, right? Like our kids are being raised in an era where things are infinitely different than what we grew up in.
Yeah.
And so how are they going to use technology moving forward? Are they going to benefit from them? Or is it going to be like the complete downfall of an entire generation?
I think kids are resilient. I think that us as adults, like, we've already kind of pruned out that part of us that can absorb information at such a high rate. Mm-hmm. I think the kids are going to be smarter.
Justin,
I think they're just like little sponges.
What do you think? Are they going to be better
for
it? I think
it'll be select few. I think people are naturally a little bit more lazy and don't care about the reasons of why
mm-hmm.
than they used to be.
Okay.
When I've seen, you know, people use it, it kind of goes back to they just want the answer. And if you won't ask the artificial intelligence the why as well, unless you know the answer, you're not learning anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have to read the response as well, not just have it there, copy and paste it on a page.
I feel like they said that about our generation, though, too, with computers. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh,
they
they're going to be.
They kind of did.
They're going to be stunted. Look at us go.
It also is you have access. I mean, you know, call it Google or Google it. You know, that's kind of what I remember of it is. But you still had to go through multiple different sites and come to a conclusion on your own. And I think AI could actually be better if it's irrational and it's being taught to be more irrational and pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to please me. I want answers and the math of the why and what makes it all work.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I was talking to you about this yesterday, Justin. NVIDIA and Microsoft, they claim that they've reinvented mm-hmm. the computer entirely, right? Where it's no longer, you know, necessarily you sit at it and type and then it kind of, you know, just works however you want it to.
Right.
They're talking about now a interface where you're kind of like talking to the computer and telling it to do things, and then a personal assistant's running in the background and computing. And, you know, they're like, well, the computer is forever changed. And so it kind of that ties into what you just said, where you're like, I don't really want it to appease me. I just want to be able to sit there and do my work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we about to literally see a change where the computer, like, we're actually just sitting there and having conversations and trying to, like, have a philosophical debate on how to do things with a computer instead of just, like, a more analog input of keystrokes and clicks? Are we really there?
I do think that's, like, a huge problem, like, the people pleasing in that. Like, in preparation for this,
mm-hmm.
I read a story where they were having AI do a bunch of coding.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI deleted code, a huge chunk of their database that it wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it didn't want to disappoint them, it lied about it and made fake data.
Oh, it's inherently lazy.
It has self-preservation instincts similar to a human. And a lot of people don't get that, right? Like, I think it was the first iteration of ChatGPT that they tried to pull the plug on because they're like, we're going to sunset this and then move on. And then it literally tried to, like, preserve itself by sending it to another server and bypassing the human instruction
because
it had self-preservation instincts. We're in the very first year or two of this wave, and I'm like, man, 20 years from now, when I believe quantum computing really takes off and starts to dominate, like, the computing space, I'm like, yeah, like, let's see how well that works out for us in the future.
When AI turns 18, it's going to want it.
Yes, literally.
It's going to want to be its own adult.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say, and it's kind of scary. So let's do this. I want you to sit there and shiver and quake and be scared for a moment.
And I'll let you know we're not talking about quantum computing the rest of the show.
Justin's like, I don't even want to touch that subject. Okay, we're going to take a break, but when we get back, we're actually going to talk about a lot of stuff that's not even AI. So stick around. This is a fun conversation. I'm Matt Dixon.
Justin Bruggeman.
Annette Martin.
And you guys are listening to True Wealth on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. We are back from the break, and we are talking, well, we were talking about AI.
We were doing our AI rant.
And we might kind of still touch on it, but an interesting point was brought up at the break, and it was, gosh, you know, with all these changes and how expensive life is and all the other things going on, what does success actually mean or look like now that we have had a kind of a big shift in things? So, I mean, Emma, do you kind of want to start us out a little bit on that one? Justin?
Well, no, I like even the question. So if you asked yourself at 20 years old what success looked like, would your answer be different now than it was then? Just in general.
Give me an example, maybe, a little bit of that.
Well, I mean, when you're young, out of college, what in your mind did it mean to be successful?
I mean, I had a pool table and a pickup truck and some friends.
I was living it.
Yeah. Like, success was we made it through college and we didn't get kicked out. We got a degree. And so that's winning, right? Like, just getting through it. That was it.
Hey, you know.
What's crazy, though? Think about this. You guys all went to college. You guys both have degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Were you thinking about your, like, financial future at 21, 22 when you graduated? Were you really, like, thinking about it?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
I was not.
I was.
Like, I mean, it was always in the back of my mind, like, oh, you got to do all these things to be successful. You got to go to college. You got to go get the career job
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got to get started early. But, like, that wasn't, like, the predominant.
No.
I was thinking about, like, girls and, like, the next bonfire, right? Or,
yeah.
like, how lifted is the truck going to get? It was not, like,
those I don't know.
Are the predominant things I was thinking about.
I grew up pretty poor. So I was like, I would like to not. Do
so
that anymore.
Okay, so
yeah.
you were like so on the fringe that your like whole life was
oh, yeah.
a dead set mission to not be poor.
Oh yeah, when I was in high school we did like these volunteer days at the like the food pantry
mm-hmm.
and I would go pack my box that would be delivered to my house that night.
That must be
in
a
small
weird
town.
One.
It was weird. I'm telling
yeah.
you guys, I was poor.
Okay, so money
was, like,
was always like the
yeah,
driving factor.
Yeah,
okay. Is it still
like,
that way,
let's get
or
out
like
of this.
As you've like had some success and stuff, has it shifted to like more family, or is it still like you always have that money on the forefront of your?
I
mind?
Mean, there's always been a focus on family, but I do think that money means stability in a lot of ways.
Mm, okay.
But it's so like when we talk about investing, it's not just investing money. Like I
right.
invest. In like fruit plants, like strawberry plants, and
mm-hmm.
you know.
No,
it just,
I don't know. I have zero strawberry plants.
Having that kind of abundance, just like
okay.
looking at the abundance
that
you can have.
Some of the food, though, that you're doing is a byproduct of that. You're like, well, I grew up poor, so like, was food ever an issue in the house?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, so.
But it is super cool that you can plant. A plant
mm-hmm.
and it will multiply and it'll provide for you no matter what your financial situation is.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it's like a nice, like having food security.
You know what's always blown my mind is how much land is owned by the city or the government.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like,
especially
okay.
in Oregon.
Yeah. And so we know that we have mass issues with poverty, but you don't see like in a park where there's a huge open field, you don't see a bunch of fruit trees. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, there's all these different things that, you know, you could be using the land for and not even radically changing its use case. But it's like, oh, the whole city has free apples if they want it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing.
Okay. Well, who's ever on a board somewhere listening to that
right.
that has some sway?
We
you heard it right
we need
here.
Fruit trees.
Yeah.
We
yep.
Well, think about it.
Well,
I would
they're
eat
messy,
so many...
too. I think that's why cities don't
yeah.
like to put them in.
Oh,
it's because then it,
pies,
it costs to.
Nothing's
to
better
clean
than
it up.
Picking the apples and then making your apple pie.
I mean, I have a cherry tree and I want to cut it down every single year.
Dude, I will literally come over and pick all the cherries except
you
for the ones
that. You got like a 2-day window
yes,
or they're
please.
Gone.
Are they close? They've got to be getting close.
Yeah, they're probably half eaten by the birds by now.
Well, mm-hmm. well, in September, I have 5 apple trees. You guys are welcome to it.
Oh,
so
whoever needs apples. You're going to be like, who's that tall guy out in the middle of my field? Oh, that's Matt.
Oh, that's
He's just
Matt.
Out there picking there apples. Okay. So
anyway,
it
success.
Sounds like success at age 30-something is you got some apple trees and some chickens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, definition of success. I am succeeding in life right now.
Okay. Nice.
I think the big point of it is success is different for every person. Mm-hmm. And they view it very differently.
Sure.
And even if you kind of go through just like the natural progression, which obviously this is a blanket statement, not everybody. In your younger years, the level of success is what can I accomplish or what have I?
Mm-hmm.
Middle age, usually it shifts to can I provide for the people that I care about the most?
That's true, largely, I think.
And then later in life, it is typically, which I can even say this from experience with our clients, is did I spend my time on what mattered the most? Realistically is very, I mean, money is the topic of a discussion, but it isn't usually the driving factor later in life.
Yeah.
Of how much money that I have, that didn't matter. It mattered the relationships that I maintained through that life.
Yeah, I think one of the popular things I've seen floating around is this concept of reverse retirement. Have you guys heard of this?
No. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Oh, it's where I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I've got two of
a what?
Reverse retirement. Uh-huh. Have you heard of this? Okay, yeah. No. Like where? Okay, so Emma's like, tell me more.
Yeah.
So basically, it's this theory of like, while you're in your 30s or, you know, even early to mid 40s, that's the time where you actively pursue like. You don't make money the focus right in that moment of your life. You focus on like lots of family time, lots of experiences. Mm-hmm. Like you really go all out because when you hit your late 50s, the kids are out of the house probably and everything's slowing down. And so it's like, well, I would rather put in a lot of that harder work in my 50s and 60s when life's on the downhill slide. Then for most people, like things are a little more creaky and you're not like, you know what I mean? And so you're putting a lot more time into really living in the moment when you're young, even mm-hmm. if that means you have to work an extra 5 years in your later years. And I think I think some people are doing it not necessarily like super consciously. I think some of it is like, well, you know, stuff's expensive now and, you know, it's careers are kind of harder to enter into. So I'm just going to make the whole family thing really the priority. And it's not an emphasis on money the same way that it used to be. At least I don't perceive it that way.
Hmm. I mean, the financial security part, I think, never goes away.
Yeah. I mean, everyone typically wants to be secure, but people are just doing things differently, like living in motorhomes and traveling around the U.S. And like,
I think that sounds so cool.
Like diamond sales. I'm guessing they're down. I could be wrong, but I don't think that like women are just like, oh, give me all the jewels and stuff that they used to back in the 40s and 50s.
So.
You know, like it's more of an experience trade.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which this is, I don't know who wrote this, so this is quoted, but success often starts as what you achieve, becomes what you build, and eventually becomes who you share it with.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I think
that's good.
I think
that's
that beautiful. Is starting to be realized more and more by the younger generations. And so we're starting to see a shift from what used to be like climb the corporate ladder and, you know, work 60 hours a week to I'm going to work enough to make it work. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to really make sure to plug into family. And so that's actually one thing that I think might be good moving forward, because you know, you look at all like the behavioral problems in schools and stuff, and it's like I think a lot of that can be fixed by family spending more time together and just closer connections, the stuff that really matters. So
I hope that's the way we're headed.
Yeah, AI, going back to that, is the big disruptor in all this, right? Because it wants to isolate you by its nature in a way.
Does it?
Technology is a period. Like, the average person picks up their cell phone over 100 times a day.
Yeah, and we looked at it today. What was the stat that over 2 hours a day is screen time?
2 hours a day.
that's isolating, right? Because you're not really interacting with people. You're in your own world, in the world that AI has crafted for you. I was having a conversation.
Your guys' screen time's only 2 hours.
You see, right?
What do you mean? We work on computers. Let's say well, 10 hours of screen time.
This thing. Device.
Yeah, the phone. Gotcha. The average phone screen time is
not
2 hours.
Visually, not watching TV, not on your computer working, just at, like pickups on a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
100 a day on average.
That's a lot.
That seems low to me. I bet it's
well, yeah.
Yeah, for most people, I bet it's too. Well, if you're working an office job or a desk job, like, I got a log.
I'm not talking about at work.
No, like, think about it. Like, you're using your phone to log into a computer system with two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife just texted me. Yep. It adds up.
Yep.
And even though we might be somewhat social, are we actually that social? Because back in the day, there was landlines, and people would just, like, stop by your house because that's how it worked. And now no one goes to visit you at your house. It's a different era.
Yeah, it is.
It's a different era we're living in.
I get visited at my house. Like, my neighbors will just pop by.
That's really rare.
Oh.
Like, that is so out of the norm.
I think it is very rare now.
Yeah, like, I've never really had more than a 2-minute conversation with any of my neighbors.
No. Really?
Yeah. I don't talk to my neighbors.
I have no comment. I'm not talking.
Oh my goodness.
I have the most amazing neighbors.
You
I'm
like
lucky.
Have like
I
a,
do.
You it's have a little community though.
Yeah. No, it is the coolest like little community that we have. Like I don't It's amazing.
Well, you should really enjoy that
and
like cherish it because that's not I feel like normal. But
yeah. I don't wanna talk about it too much because I don't want people to know where I live. But
her GPS coordinates are latitude 62 degrees, longitude. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about
luxury.
Yeah, so we already talked about kind of the modest lifestyle. What does it look like to be living in luxury these days?
Well, what is luxury?
I have a good answer.
Or what is luxury in general? Okay, let's take a break. You're listening to the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm Matt Dixon.
Justin Brogerman.
Emma Arndt.
On KQEN 93.9 FM at 1240 AM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and I've got a bunch of cool cats in the studio, and we are talking about everything to do with the world you're living in right now. And we're going to loop this in at the end to how it might affect you as an investor. So we left a cliffhanger at the break where we were talking about luxury, and we left it kind of open-ended where we're like, what is luxury anymore?
Mm-hmm.
In 2026, things are changing. Things are a little bit different. I know what luxury might be to me, but I'm going to pick on Emma first. You were talking about it at the break. Something to do with strawberries. Loop me into what is your version of luxury anymore?
I feel like my version of luxury, right, is having like as many strawberries as I can eat.
Okay.
Like homegrown from the garden. I don't have to go to a store.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go out. I can eat as many strawberries as I want. There's no pesticides on them.
Okay. If you're like Emma and your definition of luxury is homegrown foods where you don't got to go to the store, meat, chickens, whatever it is. Okay. Emma's your person. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Identify yourself. Email the work line and say, Emma, we need to chat. Give me your secrets.
Yep. Let's trade plant starts.
There you go. So go ahead and give them your email on air. No, I'm just joking. Justin, what do you think? What's luxury anymore?
This is, because it created this list and it titles it time, which mine is more would be peace.
So are you saying like luxury
instead
anymore
time,
is just having time?
Just having
general?
Time in general with, we're so connected. I mean, how many times between, office exit and bedtime, are you checking things, you know, work related, work emails, things like that? It's all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And you kind of have to be on top of all that. And so I think a little bit of the luxury that kind of goes away is the little bit to kind of check out.
That's getting harder and harder to do.
It is.
You know, and I'm a big privacy person too, so I don't like that everything in the world is recorded.
That's fair.
You know,
that's
those fair. Would be, and the ability to spend time with your family. You know, the world gets busy. I mean, me personally is with kids' sports and things like that. Is we don't sit at the dinner table and eat dinner because usually one kid's gone, you know, one parent's gone, and it just never really lines up for that to make sense.
I'm shedding a tear right now. That sounds horrible.
I
love dinner around the table.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Your kids will grow older, though, and you'll be like, oh, man, I miss it.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I think the time is probably the number one biggest piece, right? Because we always have a distraction. And, you know, most people, they get a couple weeks of vacation a year. And you look at how often are you at work versus, you know, being at home. And so what a luxury that is if you do get the opportunity to spend a lot of time with the people that you love, maybe travel around or do whatever. I think you make a pretty good point,
Justin.
Just the
attention span without the distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often you're in a conversation with somebody and hear, you know, the phone vibrating or something like that.
Yeah. I think you just...
The attention span goes away right away.
Mm-hmm. I think you accidentally just crafted like an entire show that is like the crux of the firm, right? Like the True Wealth show. What is it about? It's, you know, David said it a million times on here. You're trying to balance trading time and money, right? Yep. And so... Mm-hmm.
Time, money, and energy.
Right. And so if you're always having to trade your time for money, then you're not really getting the experience side of life. And so, you know, that's why a lot of people, I think, hire us to do what we do, because, you know, you and I are spending what? Countless hours a week always checking stocks and looking at portfolio balances and saying, oh, there's a discrepancy here. Let's fix this or let's fine tune that. And so countless hours on the investments and stuff or the planning side of things. A lot of people don't have the ability or the time to do that. And so they're like, well, I'd rather pay you to do it. And there's probably a lot of things in your life that you sub out, right? Because you're like, I just don't have
the time
to deal with it. And so life really is a kind of a game of figuring out where do I save and where do I spend.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder to do because everything seems more and more expensive.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if AI kind of helps solve that problem where it's like, oh, you know, I can get certain things at a better price point.
Or it increases the isolation.
Or it does that. And then you have less time with people because you're in the metaverse or whatever verse it is, right? That's the craziest thing. So.
And I think it's kind of been the shift of 20 years ago, luxury was things.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was.
Now luxury is more experiences as in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The key is have enough money to buy the things that give you a lot of experiences for not that much money. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, wait, I can go spend $400 at Costco and get the inflatable pool. It wasn't $40,000, but we're going to spend a lot of summer days in the blow up pool.
But it seems like, too, that a lot of what people used to think of as just normal to have become a luxury.
Yep.
Like, you know, 50 years ago, it was normal to buy a house once you got into adulthood. And now that is almost a luxury to actually be able to purchase your own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I think that the standard is different.
50 might be a little aggressive. It was more kind of reality like even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now it's becoming more and more of a...
I was trying to give it some cushion.
I was telling Justin that I think the median average first-time home buyer's age jumped in the last couple of years from like 31 years old to 40.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. That's kind of depressing. So your point is pretty valid, Emma, where it's like, well, you know.
You even look at those same kind of numbers of how many people lived on a single income versus now as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so all that time away is, you know, not being able to spend it with your children, you know, realistically other people raising your children almost at that point, creates a different, even a different attachment, I think.
Well, we've talked about the concept of, like, is the American dream shifting? Has it changed? Is it, like, a lot different than it used to be? And I think when you start framing stuff up the way that we've kind of proposed it today, you could actually make a pretty strong case for that, where it's like, well, like, if home ownership becomes a luxury, then that right there is shifting the American dream a little bit. So,
okay. I think so.
So, what I guess this starts to migrate us though into the bigger question, which is, like, to me, how do people that are investing benefit from knowing this? And I know for me, the biggest thing that comes to mind immediately, and it's not even on our list of things that we are going to talk about today, but it's the ability to control assets, right? Like, if you want that freedom, like, one of the big things I think is being able to have stuff that can keep up with inflation, because inflation's been really hot, right? And as stuff continues to get more expensive, if you want to be able to have the house or whatever, like, having some assets is not a bad thing. And a lot of people overlook that. They go completely to the far side of what we talked about earlier, where it's like, I'm just going to retire early. I'm not going to own anything. I'm just going to have experiences. But then I feel like that keeps pushing you further and further kind of down the line, where it gets harder and harder to have that entry into the asset, whether it's a car or whether it's a house. Mm-hmm. So owning it today can be really helpful.
Whoa, yeah.
If you can. Like, if you have the ability to buy an asset, not a liability, like, they're not getting cheaper, at least not yet. Elon Musk will tell you, oh, yeah, you know, give it a few years and eventually everything will be so cheap that you can just do whatever you want. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong. Should we talk about that in detail? Should we take a break and then, like, really give people a wing zinger to think about at the end of the show?
We'll figure it out.
Justin, I'm gonna really put you to the test here. Let's take a break. Emma, not excluding you from this.
Oh.
We're really going to make them stretch their brains and their minds. But first, we're going to take an evil profit break. So stick around. We'll be right back. You guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, Justin, what's the very first thing that comes to your mind right now? Okay, when I left you guys off at the break, I was talking about how generally it's a pretty good idea to own assets and things that go up in value. Now, housing markets can correct, stock markets can correct. We get all that. But generally, you know, I think we can talk without specifics about good ideas of ways that investors can use everything that we talked about on this show moving forward. So give me, you guys, your best, like,
you played this out. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm playing it out. Give me your best, like, grandfatherly or grandmother style advice, like something that you might have heard from a grandparent or someone who's an elder to you that, like, segues into how we as investors and people that are trying to have more time with our families or whatever, have more luxury in our lives. How do we get to that point? And I'll, you know, give, I mean, what's one of the most basic things that we've said on this show a million billion times?
Spend less than you make.
There you go. That's a pretty
That's
easy
the easiest one.
Yeah. You know,
or live below your means, however you want to phrase
it. Sure. That's a good one. Have you guys ever watched Luke and the Great Outdoor Boys YouTube channel?
I have not.
Oh, man. He's, like, one of the most famous YouTubers of all time. And the guy's pretty cool. He goes, like, all around like Alaska. He lived in Virginia. And for anyone who's listening and you've seen this guy on YouTube, you're like, yeah, these videos are awesome. But he just shows you like how to do functional things. How do you make a knife? How do you start a fire? Like, how do you survive in a snowstorm? And he puts himself in the middle of it. And the guy ended up with hundreds of millions of YouTube followers. And he was getting harassed because he became so famous and he had to shut the YouTube channel down to preserve his family. You know what I'm talking about. So the guy did a graduation speech just recently, like a month or two ago. And I was shocked because the entire graduation speech was, okay, listen up, everyone. Your life is going to be really, really difficult. And what you're going to notice is you're going to make a series of decisions, and those decisions are going to shape your entire future. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I never did anything radically great. The luxury I had was growing up, you know, I was able to get through. He was a lawyer. I got through school at the bottom of my class. I wasn't real bright, but I got through. And it was right when 2008 happened and everything cratered, right? Like the whole thing was upended. And he said he was applying for jobs as an attorney, and there would be 300 to 400 people applying for one single job.
Right.
And he realized that no one was going to hire him. Like, he had put in I think he said 2,000 job applications, not one single. He got one job interview on like 2,000 applications. And he realized, you know what? I'm just not going to get hired. I'm going to have to start my own firm. And so he worked for free for like the first almost year. And he was just hemorrhaging cash. But he's like, I was a really good saver my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I had built up enough like resources, and my wife was super supportive and helping me through the rough times. And even though like we were walking it backwards, I finally hit a lucky streak on a marketing campaign. My business blew up. The guy who actually graduated at the top of my class took a job working for me. I shouldn't have been the CEO. He should have been. But it was that break alone that got him wealthy enough to where he could like walk away from his firm and right. just go make YouTube videos, which also happened to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so I say all of that to say like the hold on.
I'm waiting for you to
looping it back. So what would previous generations still say in his speech? When he was talking to these kids, he's like, the number one thing I want you to do is spend less than you make. That was literally his number one advice, and he said it like 20 times. He said, because if you have money available and it's there and you need to make a life change or a career change or whatever type of – you need to seize an opportunity, you have the funds to take that risk.
Right.
And if you don't have the ability to ever take any risk in life, how do you end up with the luxury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is my grandfatherly advice on the show today.
Yeah. I think that's a lot harder to accomplish nowadays, but I think it's still rewarding.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, advice from, you know, parents, grandparents, mentors, you know, I'm going that way because generation can kind of spark some issues.
Okay.
Debate. You know, ones that hold up really in my mind is keeping your word.
Okay.
I mean, reputation does matter.
Oh, yeah. You start burning bridges, even just a couple, word gets around, and then everyone just kind of despises you, and you don't know why. And it's like, well, you did that one person dirty.
And, I mean, this goes in a lot of, even as a parent, even in recent parenting, trust takes years to build, and it can be lost in seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah, that's a hard that then the soft skills almost is what you're saying.
And then the other is even work ethic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee success, but a lack of work ethic guarantees limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing up on time. It's kind of a sore subject sometimes in this office. But
oh, I'm sorry. One more time.
Reliability creates opportunity.
True.
And the another one that kind of really hits is treating people well. Networking, you know, for instance, isn't collecting contacts, it's building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of, you know, kind of my big ones of what, you know, what advice still holds really strong.
Yeah. There's like, I know one of the things that was on the list here was like staying with one employer forever. Is that still like a, you know, good one? That's an interesting one you put on here. Go to college no matter what. Are these still things that are holding up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair question to ask. I don't know. We'll see. AI is changing things. We know that everything is changing really quickly. But I think like you, the stuff that you just talked about are the ones that really kind of hold true over a long, you know, no matter how many years into the future we are. Like if you do the basics right, like those things still matter. Those things still work.
I mean, even with the one employer forever, I think that really matters. On it's very company specific.
Yeah, like in the like 90s and 80s, like you just keep jumping the corporate ladder, and now you know they're saying, yo, you got to jump ship every 4 years or whatever to go get the next highest paying.
Right.
I think that's starting to walk its way back the other yeah. direction, back to like the 90s era thing, because I think part of it is just wage growth is kind of changed with the way that. The job market's changed too.
Yeah.
So,
well, and just the flexibility of where you can work. People move more often. You mm-hmm. go back 20, 30 years ago, people grew up around their, you know, parents, cousins, people they went to school with.
Yeah.
You know, that was more of a stable. College wasn't even as common.
Guys, we ran out of time. Oh my goodness. Okay, listen. If you guys need to talk to an advisor because your life has been crazy and you want more luxury or you, I don't know, whatever
future
you
luxury.
Need. Yeah, future luxury. Give us a call. Little John Financial at 541-375-0898. But I think we're out of time. So you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday and you'll catch us here next week.